The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios.
Hi, this is Mia Mohsen-Zia, also known as Mia No Time for Love. Check out my latest book, Missing, available in print and ebook formats on Amazon.
It's now time for The Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios and sponsored by international award-winning author Mia Mohsen-Zia of Missing. The Mike Wagner Show can be heard on over 40 podcast platforms, as well as HamiltonRadio.net, Diamonds FM, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. We can be heard in over 100 countries, featuring over 1,000 well-known and amazing guests throughout the globe, and named one of the top 100 global podcasts in the New York Weekly Times, Hollywood Entertainment News, Los Angeles Weekly Times, Apple, and Chartable. So sit back and relax and enjoy another great episode of the award-winning Mike Wagner Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike from The Mike Wagner Show, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. And brought to you by our official sponsor, The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Mohsen-Zia Missing, available on Amazon and paperback and ebook. We're here with a terrific gentleman who's a lawyer, author, hemp farmer residing in Red Hills of Leon County, Florida. He earned his degree from the University of Maryland in criminal prosecution for several years, also a private practice, representing clients and in criminal defense and family law. He also began work with a small publishing company in Florida and also writing full time. And he has a brand new book out there, which is about the story of how his family in a small farm operating in the interest in Florida, the hemp industry, which in 19, the success of the business. The book is called Green Rush Fever. And what's that about? We'll find out in just 1 minute. Live, ladies and gentlemen, from the Plus Studios in beautiful downtown Tallahassee, Florida, the multi-talented lawyer, author, hemp farmer in Red Hills in Leon County, Florida, with the book Green Rush Fever. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got Jimmy Jenkins. Jimmy, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thanks for joining us today.
Good evening, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you on board, Jimmy. So you're a lawyer, author, hemp farmer residing in the Red Hills of Leon County, Florida. You earned your degree from the University of Maryland. You've been a criminal prosecutor for several years. You have held private practice, representing clients in criminal defense and also family law as well. You began writing full-time and you work with a small publishing company in Florida. You have a new book, which is about the story of how your family and with your small farm operation entering the Florida hemp industry in 19 and the success of the business. The book is called Green Rush Fever. And of course, you know, there's always challenges, how you did it and everything, especially in the growing hemp industry, CBD and everything else. And before getting to all that, Jimmy, tell us how you first got started.
Well, this all got started when my family and I were able to procure a permit to enter the industrial hemp pilot project that was the result of the 2014 Farm Bill passed by the Obama administration. Mm-hmm. That Farm Bill classified a program, a research program, to develop industrial hemp, which is a cannabis plant, but to develop it as an agricultural crop and not to consider it part of that Schedule I fiasco that marijuana has to undergo as a cannabis plant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was that one precise moment that simply influences what you're doing for the rest of your career?
The precise moment was when I realized that as I looked for more information and research information about how to grow hemp, I really couldn't find anything that was on point. Even if I was just cannabis curious, I really didn't see the book out there that told me this is how it could be done and this is how you can accomplish it successfully. So I decided that, and I take this from what Toni Morrison, a great author, wrote that if there's a book you want to read, but if it hasn't been written yet, then you must write it. And that's what I took up and ran with, was I said, okay, well, at some point I've got to write this book about how I did it.
Mm-hmm. And what made you get into the hemp industry?
The fact that our family had been farming and that I was watching as the actual traditional farmers in the family grew older, and there was not a younger group of farmers coming along, even younger than me at that time. Mm-hmm. I was in my 40s when that occurred. But it was it looking at what's the new crop, what's something that would draw in the younger folks from the family. And it did. It definitely did. Having a cannabis crop and working with it as a research project for the state did bring the interest up of the, I guess you'd call them the millennials and the Gen Zers now.
Mm-hmm. And certainly a lot of them as well, too, take advantage of the industry. And of course, you know, being in the hemp industry has brought in billions and billions of dollars as well, too, that, you know, it's not, you know, good for the state. There's also a lot of, you know, uses for it as well, too. And of course, with your farm as well, too, that, you know, what are some of the uses that the customers have come to you for, like, say, with healing, medicine, or anything like that?
Well, let me be clear. No customers actually came to us. Physically for any type, for digitally or physically for any of our products. And that was only because of the way things worked out for us. But there's about 25,000 uses for hemp right now that have been found. What has to really be done is that the industry has to be developed, because you have to process the plant in order to develop those uses to their full capacity. Hemp can be turned into a fiber, a thread, and a thread fiber that becomes so strong and absorbent that it is used to soak up oil spills. It's been used to soak up oil spills out in the Gulf around Louisiana when some of the rigs had issues. So that's one of the uses, but the plant has to be processed heavily before it is ready to be used in that fashion. The most widely known use in the United States for hemp right now is CBD oil. Mm-hmm. And that is the calm, relaxing oil tincture that you can extract from the hemp buds themselves.
Okay. And also you mentioned about some of the things that's used for hemp. What are some of the more little known uses for hemp that people don't know about and what should be known about?
Right now, hemp is being used in a number of dashboards for automobiles.
How do you like that?
Well, it serves the purpose, serves a couple of different purposes. Hemp is a super plant. Cannabis really is a super plant in the many uses that it has. But as far as replacing petroleum-based plastics, hemp is a bioplastic. It can be manufactured into a very safe bioplastic that's much stronger than the petroleum-based plastics that have currently been used for decades to replace the metal that used to be in the cars. I'm old enough to remember when dashboards were metal.
I remember those. Yes, like the Fords, the Chevys, especially the Pontiacs, yes. The Buicks, like those big ones, and the Cadillacs,
beautiful.
The Lincolns. Oh my gosh, like you had to take like chrome shine, chrome cleaner, turtle wax, just to get the chrome in the dash itself.
Yeah.
I remember that. We had so much fun with it.
Yes. And I grew up with that here with the farming family here in Tallahassee, seeing those older big cars like that and seeing the metal. And now seeing that you can actually grow a plant that can be turned into a hard bioplastic that is biodegradable. You know, the current petroleum-based plastics do not degrade for 500 years. Mm. But the hemp plastic, the hemp bioplastic actually degrades because it starts degrading within 3 to 6 months because it's plant-based. Mm-hmm. And it's safe. I think Audi has a C60 electric vehicle that they market as all vegan, because they replaced all the leather interior with a hemp-based fabric that resembles leather of some kind, but it is hemp. So you know, there's a lot of different uses, and those really, that showed me that there's really two uses I never imagined that could come about from the bark, the stalk of the hemp plant, not even the bud where you extract the oil, but from the stalk itself, you can create these other kind of products.
Mm-hmm. There was also something I read too, that hemp was used back in the day to make you know the highways, the roads, and everything. Instead of asphalt, it was made with hemp. You know, that was back in the day too. I solely remember that.
Yes, hempcrete. One of the in the book, I talk about one of the uses of hemp is hempcrete, and I discuss some of the advocates, especially engineers who worked in the building industry, who really were advocating for hemp to replace the, I guess, the lime rock based concrete that's currently used.
Mm-hmm. And certainly do so as well. We'll talk more about the book, Green Rush Fever, and how you got started and all the uses and everything with Jimmy Jenkins. But first, listen to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios. Visit online at sonicwebstudios.com for all your needs. Looking at a professional website without breaking budget, Sonic Web Studios is the answer. Sonic Web Studios offers fast, affordable custom web designs that blow the competition away. Call today, 1-800-303-3960. That's 1-800-303-3960. Or email to support at sonicwebstudios.com. Mention the Mike Wagner Show, get 20% off your first project. Sonic Web Studios, take your image to the next level. Also, time to give an official shout out to our official sponsor of the Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson Zia. If you love fast-paced mysteries, you'll love Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Missing is fast-paced and intriguing with an unforgettable twist. Takes place in four countries, two strangers, one target, where truth is illusion and those you love will be the first go missing. It's available on Amazon in paperback and ebook. Missing by Mia Molson Zia has garnered great reviews in Eve 11 and George by Howard celebrities, including Joy Cassie, Forge Riley, and many others. So grab your copy today for Goes Missing by Mia Molson Zia, available on Amazon. Also, check out The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com on over 40 podcast platforms. Heard in over 100 countries, including Facebook, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Also, Anchor FM, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Audible, Apple Music. Also, on BitChute and Rumble. Also, here on Hamilton Radio every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, and a few networks coming soon. Tickets with you on any mobile device. Subscribe to The Mike Wagner Show on the YouTube channel. Follow The Mike Wagner Show on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok today. And for great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. T-shirts, pop sockets, throw pillows, tote bags, hoodies. Makes great gifts 24/7. Go to Amazon.com. Check out The Mike Wagner Show podcast. And for more great gift ideas, go to Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia for great books like Missing, Once, and Wrinkles. Also, T-shirts, pop sockets, hoodies, phone cases, and more. Amazon.com/MiaMolsonZia. Check it out today. I'll support The Mike Wagner Show on Anchor FM, PayPal, and TheMikeWagnerShow.com. Make sure you do so today. We're here with author Jimmy Jenkins of Green Rush Fever here on The Mike Wagner Show. Lawyer, author, hemp farmer residing in the Red Hills of Leon County, Florida. And before we talk more about your book, Green Rush Fever, you've been a lawyer for quite some time. You earned your degree from the University of Maryland, criminal prosecution for several years, private practice, representing clients in criminal defense and family law. And, you know, tell us more about the law profession and what inspired you to get into it.
The law profession was one of my first loves, and that came about from, you know, being a kid of the 60s and watching Perry Mason on TV.
I remember
TV.
Perry Mason, yes.
Yes, and wanting to achieve justice and to try to be a good doer and do right. I was a Cub Scout growing up and a Boy Scout. So,
still a peace sign and you got to be quiet. I remember those.
yes, all of that. So it came about just naturally. That once I grew up, I wanted to be a public servant and serve my community. That's what I had seen my father provide as a school administrator and my mother as a public school librarian. She was serving her community in a certain way. And my father serving, and that became my thing, was to work as a prosecutor. And after serving as a prosecutor for a while, then I said, well, maybe even as a criminal defense attorney. Let me see how it is from that side of the bar. I wrote appeals, so in the writing sense, it was really a change of perspective. It wasn't as much of a change in the clientele that you work with.
Mm-hmm. And what made you change your mind, you know, going from the prosecution over the defense?
I would say that the biggest thing that really set me into looking at things a different way was some of the inequities that exist in our criminal justice system, where the state as the prosecutor carries a big stick and has all of the resources. And when you look at the defense, especially in the criminal sense, you don't see that same type of expenditure possible to preserve someone's liberty. And that's a very difficult thing for our system, which is supposed to be fair and balanced.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. And of course, you know, graduating from University of Maryland, of course, you got to see their law system. How's that differ from Maryland compared to Florida?
I've got to say that each state has their own flavor of statutory law. Even when we put together our package to acquire the hemp permit, even as a research project where we weren't allowed to sell it in the public, that's where we really saw that difference in statutory interpretation, the difference in implementation of even federal law. You know, once the Farm Bill comes out, it comes out every 5 years, that sort of sets the tone for this is what's going to be done in the agricultural field in each state. And one difference between a Maryland and a Florida was even the approach of, is hemp an agricultural product or is it going to remain classified and stigmatized like marijuana? And I can say New York really ran away with it because as soon as they were able to, they did make hemp a legitimate crop and decided to work as hard as possible. And that's because they were right there with Canada. Canada was one of the first. When President Obama met with Prime Minister Trudeau back in, I think, the Canadian government back in the early 90s had put together their pilot program and had seen their farmers, especially their small farmers, flourish with this new cash crop. So when it came time for Florida to have the opportunity, that's where I really saw the differences in the statutes. And it was, you know, I was not as much of a cannabis advocate back then as I was after watching that statutory interpretation, go down. And I would say that even as a prosecutor, in when you see how a judge or when you see how the system itself can work an interpretation to the disadvantage of average citizens at times, you say, you know what, I might be able to do something here to make a better difference.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you talk about the Farm Bill that's come up as well, too. What are some of the big changes in the Farm Bill besides if hemp is considered agriculture or like you said, on the other side is criminalized? And what are some of the key points in the Farm Bill as well that could be affecting Florida?
Oh, gosh, you've got me out of my water now. You got me out of my Mike with that question, because I haven't had the opportunity and I haven't kept up with all of the cannabis law intricacies. I can say that, and I will say that point, that it has gotten much more specified and it has become the commercialization has at least been exposed as it's not a Bitcoin fiction, so to speak, that there really is a, if not a pot of gold, there's at least, it's a commodity that's to be considered in the market. And that's because of the different uses. It just needs to have its industry structure put around it in order to make the, get the plant to do all that it's capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And of course, that also led you to a book as well, too. And just tell us about how you went from being a lawyer to write, and y'all tell us about the transition, especially starting up the book.
The book itself came about as a meandering project that occurred when we first started to try to acquire a permit to grow. And that was even before the statute was on the book back in 2018. I would say. And at that point, that's when I started compiling all of the information that would end up being in the book. By the time we knew that we had a permit in hand, that we started to actually grow the hemp, that's when the part three of the book took its format. When I actually talked about the plant itself and how it was growing and how it was developing and the care and techniques that we had to undertake as farmers, as lifelong traditional farmers, what we had to do in mixing some of our own experiential knowledge from farming in the past with this new modern crop, with this new modern plant, to try to figure out, here's how we can make it grow in our state, in our certain kind of soil, the clay, loamy soil that we have here in the Red Hills, is fertile. But you do have to give it a good bit of cultivation in order to know what you're doing so you can keep that kind of a plant alive, and especially in the Florida climate.
Mm-hmm. And of course, it's also grows well, too. And of course, more about the book with Green Rush Fee with author Jimmy Jenkins on the Mike Wagner Show. And and of course, he had like 2000 industrial hemp plants as well, too. And there's also been some challenges as well, too, like, you know, being a family tradition. And of course, some of the issues you guys went through on and off the farm. And, you know, maybe a bit about the story about, you know, it actually took some time to get started and some of the issues and, you know, what are some of the issues you encountered and how'd you manage to overcome?
The way that we were able to overcome was a lot of faith in each other, a lot of family resiliency and just believing that we could set a new course and do this project in a way that was ethically the best way possible, and morally the best way that we understood right from wrong to exist. And then just to farm it as you would any other crop, even though you were doing different things with it after it was harvested, it still at the end of the day is a plant that's in the ground. That's it. And to make it grow at its optimal level, to get an understanding with it, that was one of the biggest goals that we had to be able to really achieve as part of a research project for the state.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you got a pretty good 2,000 farms as well, too. And how many farms besides yours you currently have a hemp farm in Florida?
Oh, goodness. I would think that number is definitely in the hundreds.
Wow.
It's in the hundreds, if not the thousands. I believe it should be in the thousands. The year that we were able to obtain our research permit was the year that the agricultural commissioner was a politician by the name of Nikki Freed. And she had been a cannabis advocate before getting elected to the commissioner of agricultural position. So she threw the doors wide open as soon as she could after President Trump's 2018 Farm Bill. She made sure that the Florida Industrial Hemp Program was going to provide permits to every farmer who wanted one. And if you were farming under 5 acres of hemp, you could get a permit for free.
Nice.
That was back when she was commissioner. She's no longer the commissioner anymore. But when she was commissioner, she really advocated and pushed for it. A lot of people did get the permits and gave it a good go. And they did much better than we did in certain cases. But I believe now the number is in the thousands. It's just that with the pandemic, and because hemp is still a labor-intensive crop, until there's more research that's done about what machinery can be built to harvest it better, it's a labor-intensive crop. And something like a pandemic takes a big chunk out of your workforce. Especially for us, like we have a small family farm, it just dwindled our numbers down for healthy bodies and hands that could, you know, get out there and get it done.
Mm-hmm. That's a rather interesting point. Talk about the pandemic and trying to come up with the farming equipment, what it takes and everything else. And of course, it's growing as well, too. And what sets your farm apart from the rest of the farm crops in Florida?
What sets our farm apart is that we really work the organic side of it. We try to approach our growing with those organic mindset, and that we're not just going to use a lot of pesticides on anything. Historically, we had a sugarcane syrup making operation. And as syrup makers, you know, you're boiling down the actual juice from that plant just so that you can purify it and try to crystallize it and skim off any impurities. So we had always endeavored to go with low pesticide usage, low fertilizer usage. And even when we undertook growing with the hemp, we took that same approach. And we think that was the part that did set us apart, because those who did have an initial taste of our buds, our smokable buds, said that it was very refreshing. They were clean. They tasted very clean, just almost like they said, eating lettuce rather than, you know.
Yeah. or fresh coffee, too. Fresh water.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Definitely today. And what advice would you give to somebody if they're interested in starting up a hemp farm?
I would say to buy my book. First of all, I have a copy around here somewhere so I could actually hold it up and show it to you. But buy my book. That would be the first thing. And after you buy my book and give it a good read, then find a cannabis lawyer in your area and talk to them about how you can legitimately go about working with this super plant.
Okay. And where can we find your book at?
My book's available at Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and all those different retailers as a paperback soft cover book or as a digital online ebook.
We'll certainly check that out. And what's coming up for author Jimmy Jenkins of Green Rush Fever? We'll find out in just 1 minute. You're listening to The Mike Wagner Show at themikewagnershow.com, powered by Sonic Web Studios and brought to you by our official sponsor of The Mike Wagner Show, international warring author Mia Molson's The Missing. We'll be back with author Jimmy Jenkins of Green Rush Fever after this timeout.
The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios. If you're looking to start or upgrade your online presence, visit www.sonicwebstudios.com for all of your online needs. Call 1-800-303-3960 or visit us online at www.sonicwebstudios.com to get started today. Mention The Mike Wagner Show and get 20% off your project. Sonic Web Studios. Take your image to the next level.
Hey everybody, my name is Forbes Riley and I'm an American actress and a TV host. And I was delighted when I got my copy of Missing, which is Extraordinary Relation of Ordinary People Based on a Real Life Relationship. It's well written. It's amazing. You know, it talks about a man who has lost his wife and his daughter, and it's very well done. I'm going to highly recommend that you go get your copy of Missing. It is a powerful, exciting read. Mr. Mian Moshe Zia, he is the author of Missing. And I want to give a big shout out and a kiss all the way halfway around the world to my dear friend. Check him out at Mia's website. It's called www.miamoshenzea.com. Missing, available on Amazon. Again, I'm Forbes Riley, and I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, hey, this is Ray Powers, and boy, are you in luck. Right place, right time. Tuned in to The Mike Wagner Show. You heard me.
We're back with author Jimmy Jenkins of Green Rush Fever here on The Mike Wagner Show. A lot of great advice and some great stories that he gave as well, too. And Jimmy, you're back on, and tell us what do you got coming up for 2023 and what can we expect from you and beyond?
In 2023, the next item that I want to do is going to be a children's book that's also going to deal with him.
Nice.
It's going to be about bullying and acceptance and inclusion, because industrial hemp is a farm crop. And, you know, in a children's book sense, when you put hemp seeds with watermelon seeds or split peas or corn kernels, there is going to be some pushback because of the stigma that the hemp seeds as cannabis are going to have. And that's what the book is about, is how they get pushed out like little Britneys. They get pushed to the ground and bullied. And then later on, they grow to acceptance and inclusion as a farm crop.
That is quite interesting. And we're certainly looking forward to it. And I'm ready to grow one after this, too. So I'm dialing up right now trying to order and get some seeds over. So we're doing that.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be great. And who do you consider biggest influence in your career, Jimmy?
My biggest influence, I would have to say, besides Toni Morrison, it could be a James Baldwin or even a Langston Hughes. So some of those writers, and my writing's not that prolific, but those are some of the writers that really piqued my interest when I was a younger reader.
That's certainly interesting. And what's the best advice you can give to anybody at this point? Doesn't have to be in hemp or farming, but just in general.
Oh, gosh. Seek as much joy as you can in this life. You know, really stalk that joy like you would stalk your prey. Find it and hang on to it for as long as you can.
That is perfect advice, Jimmy. Once again, we're author Jimmy Jenkins of Green Rush Fever here on the Mike Wagner Show. Jimmy, a very big thank you for your time. You've been absolutely fantastic. Learned a lot, some great stories. Looking forward to having you again soon. Keep us up to date. Keep in touch. Live have you back. Once again, what's your website? How do people contact you? How do they contact you? Where can people purchase or check out Green Rush Fever?
My website is www.jimmy-jenkins.com. And the book can be purchased at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, Books A Million, and other large retailers as well. Mike, thank you so much for having me today. I greatly appreciate the time to talk to you and your audience. And if there's ever a need to learn anything or hear anything about hemp again, just let me know. I'll be more than happy to come back.
We'll certainly do so. We'll send Willie over as well, too. So once again, a very big thank you, time, Jimmy. You've been great. Looking forward to again soon. Fantastic. And definitely keep thank in you. Touch. And looking forward to having soon. And wish you all the best. And Jimmy, you definitely have a great future ahead of you.
Thank you so much, Mike. Have a great one.
The Mike Wagner Show is powered by Sonic Web Studios. If you're looking to start or upgrade your online presence, visit www.sonicwebstudios.com for all of your online needs. Call 1-800-303-3960 or visit us online at www.sonicwebstudios.com to get started today. Mention the Mike Wagner Show and get 20% off your project. Sonic Web Studios. Take your image to the next level.
Hey, everybody. My name is Forbes Riley, and I'm an American actress and a TV host. And I was delighted when I got my copy of Missing, which is Extraordinary Relation of Ordinary People Based on a Real Life Relationship. It's well written. It's amazing. You know, it talks about a man who has lost his wife and his daughter, and it's very well done. I'm going to highly recommend that you go get your copy of Missing. It is a powerful, exciting read. Mr. Mian Moshe Zia. He is the author of Missing. And I want to give a big shout out and a kiss all the way halfway around the world to my dear friend. Check him out at Mia's website. It's called www.miamoshenzea.com. Missing. Available on Amazon. Again, I'm Forbes Riley, and I will see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Mike Wagner Show. Brought to you by international award-winning author Mia Mosenzia of Missing and powered by Sonic Web Studios. Be sure to join us again on over 40 podcast platforms. And of course, on the MikeWagnerShow.com, HamiltonRadio.net, and Diamonds FM. Don't forget to support our program with a generous donation at the MikeWagnerShow.com. Thanks for listening.